Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman. Stepping into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as we did on the broadcast yesterday, we have come to the great resurrection chapter in God's Word, and Paul begins the chapter by addressing the topic of the gospel, because the doctrine of the resurrection is part of the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins, how that he was buried, how that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. And so Paul begins his study, his treatment of the doctrine of the resurrection by talking about the gospel in its essence, in its simplicity, which concludes with the resurrection of Christ and is the foundation then for the doctrine of the resurrection of the saints. And so in the first several verses of this chapter, we find the centrality of the gospel, the message of the gospel, evidence for the gospel, and accomplishments of the gospel. And it begins by the centrality of the gospel, which tells us to start with that the gospel dominated Paul's ministry. It was, you recall, his first priority. And it was a message that he delivered carefully as he had received it. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, that means first in priority, first in importance, first of all that which I also received. Paul is not manufacturing a message. Paul is not shaping the message. Paul is not enhancing the message. Paul is faithfully delivering the message of the gospel. The gospel dominated Paul's ministry. We'll continue, but thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, May 25. And thanks for remembering that we are in need of your financial help. Yes, the gospel dominated Paul's ministry, but the gospel also transformed Paul's readers. He's writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to people who almost entirely had been saved out of pagan backgrounds, people who had never seen a Bible until Paul came along and proclaimed to them God's truth from the scriptures. They had never heard the gospel. They had probably never heard of Jesus Christ. They were pagan idolaters who worshipped the multiplicity of gods from their background, their family, their tradition, their culture. And yet Paul proclaimed the gospel to them, and they were transformed by it. Paul says, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received. That's past tense. They believed it, and in which you stand, or more literally, in which you are standing, present tense. They are taking their stand in Corinth on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are being changed by it. This is future, by which also you are being saved. So past, present, and future. You believed in the past, you are standing in the present, and you are continually being changed by it on into the future. The gospel had transformed Paul's readers, as the gospel transforms everyone who savingly believes in it. There are no people who have truly and savingly believed the gospel who have not been transformed, who have not been changed. The Bible is clear about that. If your life is no different than it was before you claimed to have believed in the gospel, then you have not yet truly believed in the gospel. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. That is the consistent message of the Bible. And Paul emphasizes that here at the beginning, when he talks about the centrality of the gospel, which had dominated Paul's ministry and had transformed Paul's readers. But he also tells us that the gospel defines Christian identity, back to verse 2, by which also you are saved, and here's the important point, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. What is he telling us? He's telling us that Christians are those who believe the apostolic gospel. You are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you. And those who do not hold fast the word which was preached to them are not true Christians. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. Unless you have not truly believed. You've believed without effect. If you've believed without transformation. If you have believed superficially. If you have believed without due consideration, is the way someone has put that. You have believed in vain. You have believed superficially. You have believed without conviction of your sins. You have believed without a transforming work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. In other words, and we sometimes talk about it this way, you have believed the gospel intellectually, but you haven't believed it savingly. And if that be the case, then you will probably abandon your faith at some time in the future, if you haven't already begun to do so. When we hear about people who were once Christians and now have renounced their faith, we are sometimes confused. What's happened here? Is it possible for a person to be saved and then to lose their salvation? And of course, that's the conclusion that some people draw. But that's not a conclusion based upon Scripture. That's a conclusion based upon human observation and experience, which should never replace Scripture. So it goes something like this. I knew that person when they were a Christian. I had no reason to doubt that they were a Christian. I accepted them as a Christian. I know they were a Christian. You sometimes hear that kind of language. I know they were. How do you know they were? Well, because I just know they were. I knew them. I know they were a Christian. But now they have renounced the faith. Sometimes pastors do this. We've heard of a few cases of that. Sometimes very influential and well-known pastors who have preached the gospel to others and have been a help to others and have been followed by others, by many others. And then they come to a point in their life where they walk away and no longer believe this. It's a sad day. It's an earth-shattering day in the lives of some people. How can that be? Well, it must be. I see what's happening before my eyes. It's evidence that it must be possible to be saved and to lose your salvation. No, don't draw your doctrine out of personal observation and experience. Your personal observation and experience must be informed by the Bible. And Paul is doing that here. He says of the gospel, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. If you do not hold it fast, then you did not believe savingly. You did believe superficially. You did believe culturally. We sometimes use that phrase, cultural Christians. They grew up in Christianity. They grew up in a Christian home. They grew up in a Christian church. Christianity is very familiar to them. They're familiar with the message. They're familiar with the terms. We've had a number of young people in our church who have grown up, and in their later teen years or early adulthood came to the realization that they had never been born again. And by the work of God's Spirit in their heart, they were brought to the new birth. They were brought to true faith. They were brought to true conviction of their sins and casting themselves upon Christ. And then they look back over their life and they say, how could it be that I knew the language, I knew the message? Some of these people have even, in fact, quite a few of them have even witnessed to others, given the gospel to others when they themselves were not truly born again. How is that possible? This is how it's possible. It's possible to believe in a cultural way. This is my culture, just like someone who grows up in a different country, in a different religion that dominates their culture, adopts that religion out of cultural considerations. This is what my family follows. This is what our community follows. This is what our country follows. We are, and fill in the blank, because we belong to this particular country. We are cultural Buddhists. We are cultural Muslims. Well, it's possible to be cultural Christians in exactly the same way. Is that possible for you, that you could be a cultural Christian, one who has accepted the general terms of the gospel? You haven't rejected it. You haven't denied it. You don't fight against it. You accept it. You therefore consider yourself to be a Christian. But the problem is that you haven't truly been transformed by it. It's not the result, your faith is not the result of a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. It's not the result of a new birth, the birth from above that has come to you. It is something far more human-centered. You are a Christian because your parents were, your grandparents were, your other relatives and friends were, and therefore you consider yourself to be one as well. And if that's the case, you will probably walk away from it at some point. And Paul recognizes that possibility among the people that he's writing to in Corinth, who many of them had left their pagan background, left their families, left their religion, embraced the Christian religion, in some cases at great cost, but have not truly been born again. They did that because their friends did it. They saw a number of people embracing Christ, and so they decided to as well. And he said, the gospel is that by which you are saved, if you hold fast, without wavering, the word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. There's a superficial faith as well as a genuine faith. And it is important that you, it is important that I, it is important that all people examine themselves to see whether they be in the faith. And that's what Paul is saying here. Be certain that your faith in the gospel is a saving faith. If it is, you will persevere in it. Well, we'll take it up again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.